I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday afternoon. A Washington Post article struck us as important, and it has been much discussed among those who work in public radio. As we love public radio, and we know those of you who are listening to us right now do as well. The article was titled, NPR is Graying and Public Radio is Worried About It. Many of the listeners who grew up with NPR are now reaching retirement age, leaving NPR with a challenge. How can it attract younger and middle-aged audiences whose numbers are shrinking to replace them? So we'll ask that question this hour, and Jack Mitchell is going to be joining us in just one moment. Jack was with Wisconsin Public Radio for a number of years and helped put together this system of more than 20 stations serving a statewide audience with two networks, and we also give the country so many programs as well. Jack was the first employee of National Public Radio, and he was instrumental in developing All Things Considered. He's won a number of awards. We'll mention those in just one moment. And we've also asked you to give us the answer, how do we attract a younger audience? And we've had all kinds of Facebook comments on this from, I might add, young people, many of them, which is good. And older people are okay as well, because I'm one of them. So this hour, we'll talk about it with Jack and welcome your phone calls. I do want to say, though, just at the top of the show here, because this is one of those hours as we are in our membership drive, that we have this dollar-for-dollar match going on, so it's a really good hour for you to contribute, and I'm sure you were thinking of contributing. Dollar-to-dollar match up to $1,200 this hour, so that's our goal, to reach that, and then we get double the amount of money. It's good. For you to contribute, here is how you do it. It's either WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. More about that in a few moments, but please contribute, and we thank you very much. So Jack Mitchell is with us to talk about how substantial the problem is, the audience graying, getting older for public radio, and the need to attract a young audience. Jack has received two of the highest honors in public radio, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's Edward R. Murrow Award, doesn't get much better than that, and the Edward Elson National Public Radio Distinguished Service Award. Hi, Jack. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. So, I'm older than you are.
You know, we're both kind of old, aren't we? But we're still here. So how big a problem is it? Do we need to get young people?
Ultimately, yeah. But I guess I don't worry about the composition of the audience so much as the size of the audience. Mm. It seems to me that I don't care really whether people are 80 or 18 or male or female or black or white or, you know, all the various demographic categories that we put people into. I think it's important that as many people as possible listen to the product that I think we are all proud of, mm-hmm. and that I think is worthwhile. So the fact that the audience is older than it was a few years ago, as long as there are still lots of people, and it's okay with me. Now, the concern would be what happens 10 or 20 years from now. The good news is that everybody's getting older, so that people that are now in their 30s will be in their 50s in another 20 years. And it's been a phenomenon that, you know, public radio has never really been for young people.
Right.
And people get older, and they mm-hmm. turn a certain age, and then they begin to realize that most of what's on the commercial dial isn't of very much interest to them, and there is something that is of worthwhile and of interest to them on the public radio part of the dial, and they come over. So the fact that we don't have as many young people as we would like listening doesn't worry me that much. I can't say, I won't dismiss it totally, because the average age is going up, which means we're not adding as many at the lower end as we're losing, or as we could. But I don't think it's catastrophic. You know, it's not something that public television has been getting by with a much older audience than public radio for many years, and they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the quality of the programs that matter. and the fact that we're reaching as many people as we can. And and we're doing pretty well with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was interested in what the overall audience for radio is, public radio and commercial radio. And from what I've read, it is at an all-time high. 91% of Americans 12 and older listen to the radio in a given week. From 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., radio accounts for the biggest share of media usage ahead of TV-connected devices, computers, smartphones, and tablets. And overall news talk information is the category they most listen to. So is the problem that we're not attracting, for whatever reason, we don't have money to advertise ourselves, the fact that we do it better than anybody else?
Well, I don't know that advertising would necessarily make a lot of difference. I think people find what they're looking for. And those who, if you're listening to, shall we mention Rush Limbaugh, and you don't like it, unless you're a fool, you're not going to stick with it. And you'll go and try to find something you do like. And so most people who find public radio don't do it because they saw an ad or anything. They just are saying, I don't like what I'm listening to. I'm going to see if I can find something better.
Right.
And they do, and they find something better, and they, okay, now they put that into their repertoire. So I don't know that that advertising would help a whole lot. It speeds the process, perhaps. But the fact is that unless you're, say, really a masochist, you're not going to listen to things that don't satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think every station sort of finds its natural audience over time. And you're not going to get people to listen to public radio whose values and standards are different from public radio. They'll go find a station that is suitable for them. I've never been in favor of a lot of advertising. I've never thought it was really necessary. Better programming. That's
mm-hmm.
always the product. That's what we need to be focusing on, and keeping that at the highest possible level. And people will find it.
So people who run public radio stations around the country, as well as those at NPR, must be concerned about these numbers. Daily news programs, Morning Edition, has dropped 11% overall since 2010, according to Nielsen. Afternoon listening is down 6% over the same period. How do you explain that? Those programs are still top-notch, and it would seem to me as though this is a legitimate cause for concern.
Yeah, the fact that it's going down is a concern. The fact that it's older is not a concern.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the difference. And those two shows are certainly making an effort to become younger. They've changed hosts in a number of cases, with younger people replacing the older folks that have handled those shows in the past. It's partly that younger people are listening to less radio and less public radio, but I don't have a good explanation for why those shows in particular are slipping. The Ideas Network programs are holding up pretty well. These are local shows, so but the articles they're talking about are NPR,
right?
And which of course drive the programming and the audiences for most public radio stations. This network is a little different because it was not built on NPR news magazines.
Right.
It's built on state and local, which is remains unique. There's nothing else in the state that's like this, and you can't go somewhere. You can't go to a podcast or something else and get what this particular network offers, but it's a dilemma for NPR and most public radio stations. But the fact that they have these that the material is being made available in podcasts and other forms means that even if the radio listening has gone down a little bit, the material may still be being delivered to young people by different means, and there's some problems with that too. But material is still being delivered, but not as many people are listening to NPR national programs as were on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
They were a few years back.
I'm still old, so old school, Jack, that I wait for the news on the top of the hour. I mean, if it's going to be a couple minutes and I'm in the garage, I just sit there and wait.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I mean, my habits were, you know, created when I was a teenager. Yeah, and I still basically operate that way. And, you know, but we're old.
I know. We eat better food. Yeah, we don't need as much sleep. Jack Mitchell is our guest this hour, and Jack was with Wisconsin Public Radio for a number of years as director, and he really created the whole Wisconsin Public Radio system, which you enjoy today. He was, I love to say this because you can't say this about anybody else, he was the first employee of National Public Radio, and he helped to develop All Things Considered. He is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. We just have tons of phone calls coming in, and we have so many messages. It's so encouraging from people who can help us understand how we might attract a younger audience. The product is, I know that you would agree, superb. It's a superb product. You don't find it anywhere else on radio. When you look at international coverage, NPR has one of the best international teams really anywhere. Maybe the New York Times is a rival, but it's phenomenal what we do. So how do we grow the audience, in particular get younger people and minorities to be listening as well? Here's our phone number. Lines are jammed, but keep the number in your head, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we would love to hear from you. And we're going to, in just a moment, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And KP Whaley, wonderful producer, is with me in our Milwaukee studios. And you may know by now, this is our year-end membership drive. All of these issues that we talk about, here we are talking about the future of public radio, and you're jamming the phone line, so I know that you really care about this issue. We care about you to keep all of these conversations on the air. And it's your gift that keeps us on the air, quite frankly. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we did hear from some other folks who care about public radio, four new and two returning members. Thank you so much for your pledges. Right now, we do have a dollar-for-dollar match.
Oh, yes, we do.
That's right, up to $1,200. So this generous match is from current members, including an anonymous donor, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give this hour.
It's wonderful. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. These don't happen all the time, so believe me, it is the time to pledge. It's double your money, double your support for all of the programs that you love, you public radio listeners. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, you know, the Ideas Network is with you all day long, whether you ride to work with us or run errands with us, if you cook dinner or get interesting discussions whenever you want them. We're always here, and you make that possible with your donation. So Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be what it is without your support. Support now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It really is such a wonderful service. And it's also the season of giving. So I like this so much. There are two really great things you can do when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation will support all of the programs that we give you every single day. And you can also help people. It's a Food for 20 donation when you give $5 a month, or Food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
Oh, that's a great
idea. Isn't it good?
Idea. Yeah, and you know, these thank you gifts provide meals for people that are facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So it all starts right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Tom Ashbrook. There are many places you can go for information where you'll get shouting and finger-pointing, where you'll hear the same angry news clip played again and again. But the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio is different. It's where you go if you want reasoned, not inflammatory, public discourse. And we are this way because you support us. You've made it clear that you don't want people yelling at you when you turn on the radio. So reserve this calm place for public discourse by making your pledge of support. We promise we'll always use our inside voices. Thank you.
Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and we are asking for your support of WPR. It's our year-end membership drive. Your gift, well, think about it for a minute, $10 or $20 a month, if you can do that, whatever amount is one that we say thank you for.
And, you know, we don't really expect any single listener or even 50 or 100 listeners to carry the costs of this program. In fact, that's the advantage of having the bulk of our budget come from thousands of listeners just like you.
Yes, each and every one of you. And remember, this is one of those hours where we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,200, which you do math better than I do, but you know what it means. Even I get it. It's you pledge $10, it's really $20,
hey, that's
you
right.
know, which is
this
terrific.
This hour only.
And it's this hour only, okay. So now is the time to pledge. One common factor among WPR listeners is that, oh, yes, they do love to read. And you've probably received so many book recommendations from your WPR listening. It could be one of the many interviews that we've done. I'm always talking about the books that I've read. Books.
Including Nancy Pearl is going to be on next week.
Nancy Pearl gives
That's
you
right.
more recommendations. Daniel Golden also gives recommendations. Recommendations. We do those frequently. Chapter a day. It's a radio station that reads a book. I love it. Or something you heard on a news program that made you want to go out and learn more, and so you got a book.
I'm writing stuff down all the time. And I know your WPR listening leads to these never-ending book lists like mine. So your donation right now makes that kind of endless enjoyment and discovery possible. Give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552, and you'll keep those book recommendations coming.
Giving to WPR is quite simple. It just takes a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. If you would like for me to suggest one, I would say, well, how about $10 a month?
$10 a month is perfect.
It is, isn't it?
And that donation will come back to you every day in the form of these great programs. So show your support now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552, and give $10 or as generously as you can.
Thank you so much, KP, for all you do. And please, I want to stress this. This is one of those hours, dollar-for-dollar match, up to $1,200. So it's double your money when you pledge. So it makes it, as you can understand, a really good hour to pledge. Oh, we have so many phone calls coming in for Jack Mitchell. We're looking at the college-educated baby boomers now passing 65. They've listened to WPR since it was started, since the days when Jack Mitchell first started, All Things Considered, and he was the first employee of public radio, national public radio. So how do we make sure that younger generations continue to listen? How do we keep it thriving and relevant for young people so that it will stay thriving for years and years and years and years? We have all kinds of calls coming in, and we'll start, Jack, with Barb in Fond du Lac. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I'm a disgruntled state employee, and I just started listening. I'm 53 years old, and I didn't listen to public radio until just a few years ago. Hmm. I commute to work, and I'm on my commute right now, as a matter of fact. And since starting listening, I know I listened earlier on, but not as committed as I am now to your show, which I absolutely love. And can't wait to get in the car to listen on my way, and then when I'm coming home, I catch your second hour. Hmm. And that was what I was thinking was, depending on what time of day, sometimes I would like to hear other shows, but I'm not always able to hear those shows. So in that case, I guess I would have to get a little more tech savvy and be online and check your website or the podcast or whatever. But what I was going to say was, I'm just putting out as much word as I can, especially to my coworkers, that this is such a valuable asset to us as number one Americans, number two state employees that I work with, who are just, it's a tough time.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you're listening. Jack?
Yeah, well, that's the fact that a person in her early 50s decides to finds public radio and decides that it actually fits her needs the way perhaps it didn't when she was 25 is why I'm not as pessimistic as some about the future. That because, as I said earlier, that we know that very young people don't listen to public radio, never will. It's not till people are in their, when they're settled, usually start having families or begin to, you know, settle down into careers and that in their perhaps early 30s, that public radio becomes of some interest to them, and it grows over time, and because they kind of grow into public radio. So I think this caller's example is a very good one in terms of making why I'm somewhat confident that as long as people keep getting older, there'll be new listeners for public radio.
Mm-hmm. You would think, Jack, and I'm wondering, some of the services that public radio offers, particularly national, really some of the best international coverage. The New York Times is pretty good, but the number of outlets giving us the kind of international coverage that we really seem to need right now, NPR is very good at that. Do people listen for how well we do some of what we do?
You know, I don't know. I've been out of it for a while, and I assume that people listen to what interests them, and as long as what public radio is doing does interest them, that's what they're listening for. But it's certainly you're correct in that we're the only broadcaster, other than perhaps CNN, that has anywhere near the kind of capability and the commitment
yes.
to doing foreign news. The New York Times, yes, they're great, and they probably always will be. Most other newspapers are dropping their international coverage, certainly, because it's very expensive. And NPR made a commitment probably 30 years ago to be the leader in international reporting, and they've fulfilled that promise.
Thanks very much for the call, and let's go next to Charlie in Monona. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, how are you doing today?
All right, how are you?
Great, great. Pleasure to talk to you, and a pleasure to talk to Jack. I'm a longtime listener since about 75.
Great.
I, too, am a retired disgruntled state employee. And the Ideas Network has been my constant companion every day since I retired. It's such a great thing. Both of our kids now live in Denver, and when we go to Denver, the public radio is there, but they certainly don't have anything like the Ideas Network.
No.
A couple years ago, I was out there, I said to the kids, where's the radio? And they said, who listens to the radio? Which I think points up the problem that you're talking about. The new thing that's sitting on their counter right now is the Amazon Echo. So I can go to their house and tell Alexa to play WHA, and I get to listen to the Ideas Network over a new technology that I'm sure would be a real benefit to public radio. You're on there, but to somehow be more obvious that you're on there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good good insight. There's so much available now, and not only can you listen to us in Denver, you can listen to the Denver station here, and so these kind of choices, there are just so many more, which is why radio audiences are fragmenting, and why, say, the listenership to any particular station in its home community may be dropping in many cases. But people not in the home community may be listening, and certainly can. And that's one of the reasons I think that why the Ideas Network has a strong future, is that it's unique. And frankly, the Denver Public Radio Station, which is considered one of the best in the country.
Is it?
But it's kind of like all the rest. It's mostly NPR and some local material, but it sounds like almost all the others, and so they're kind of interchangeable. In the case of this network, there's nothing else like it, and so Wisconsinites who live in Arizona can tune in and hear this programming, even though they're no longer here. Perhaps they retired down there. And there's a reason to, because they can't get it in Denver or Phoenix, et cetera.
Thank you so much for the call. Let me read you, Jack. We just had a ton of Facebook comments on this, too, which I think is encouraging. And you can respond to what you'd like to. Tim writes on Facebook, I'm a millennial. I force all my coworkers to listen on the job site with me. Elise writes, I'm a 24-year-old who listens to Morning Edition every day. I try to spread the NPR love by bringing up stories that are relevant to topics we're discussing in grad school. Many of my classmates listen as well. And a lot of comments along these lines. My children complained about NPR, not that again. However, both of them now listen to it. It's one of the warm realizations of my life.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I have the same experience because I have two daughters who are major public radio fans now, but worked in the past. And so that's quite common. It's partly this, say, growing into it, kind of, they probably didn't love it in the beginning, but I think it's a question of maturing into it. Now, there are certainly younger people who do listen to public radio, and certainly the national newscasts, news shows, because if you are a grad student, it's sort of like reading the New York Times, which used to be required reading for anybody in grad school, because that's what everybody was talking about.
Sure.
And in certain parts of our society, and grad schools being one of them, public radio is sort of basic to the conversation. Most people in their 20s are not in grad school.
Jack Mitchell is our guest this hour, and we're talking about what people in public radio have been discussing lately. Washington Post did an interesting article a little while back, which is titled, NPR is Graying and Public Radio is Worried About It. Jack is not terribly worried about it. He says if people are 65 or 75 or 85 or 95, the audience is still there. And actually, we're increasing our audience among people who are 65 and up. But just to spread this wonderful knowledge to all generations, it would be a good thing to have more younger people listening and to make sure that the audience grows into WPR as they grow older. So we're talking about how to do that and how much a concern it should be with Jack. Jack was director of Wisconsin Public Radio for 21 years. He was the first employee of National Public Radio and helped to start All Things Considered. He's won all the major awards for service in WPR, in public radio, actually, national and at the state level, and is in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Our phone number for you to answer this question, our lines are busy, but, you know, keep trying, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Busy hour here. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. This is also our year-end membership drive. This is your radio station. I know many of you really love it. And right now, during this drive, is your chance to make sure that we start a new year, which is just a few weeks away, in pretty good financial shape. And it's you who will put us in good financial shape when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a really great time to make that pledge because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,200.
Yes, we do.
It's in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because current members, including an anonymous donor, will double every dollar that you give. It's our way, or their way, really, of inspiring you to support WPR. So double your impact right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and also gives you some chuckles every single day. You enjoy this program, the Joy Cardine Show, the Larry Mueller Show, On Point, Old Time Radio Drama, many other programs you love.
And it also kind of opens this window of the world like no other radio station. So support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We also invite you to become a sustainer. You'll get a monthly amount, maybe $10 or $15, and it automatically comes out of your bank account or your credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask ask us to make a change.
Yeah, I like that sustaining giving.
Like
it's
that,
the
huh?
easiest way to do it.
Thank
and
you,
it really
KP,
it does
for
mean
the advice. It's good.
And you know, it's like a Netflix account, it's like anything that you're already doing, but when you do it, it means that we can depend on you the way that you depend on us. That's day in, day out, year in, year out, and you're in control. You can change your giving at any time. It's a convenient way. It's very helpful to WPR. So become a sustainer now, wpr.org or 888-202-2552.
That's such an important word, depend on us. I mean, you depend on KP and Scotty to do wonderful production. You depend on me to show up for work. We depend on you to be listening to the radio, and then you call in. We depend on wonderful guests. It's just...
Maybe it's codependent.
It's we're all codependent in the best way, if there is a best way that that word can be interpreted.
Right.
At any rate, you enjoy listening to us because you can depend on us, and we don't have any commercials. So it means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, corporate funding are important.
Yeah, that's an important part. To make, because the single largest piece of our budget actually comes from you. Your support makes the difference, and it's the backbone of our funding. So make a pledge at WPR.org. Feel good about it. Call now, 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you pledge, whatever you pledge, it's doubled. This is the hour, up to $1,200. This is the hour, so pledge now, will you? Thank you.
I'm Larry Mueller, and today we're talking Brussels sprouts. There's so many other great things in the garden, but our parents just don't get it. No matter how they cook them, Brussels sprouts are inedible. But our guest today has some ideas.
Well, the dog is no help. Believe me, I've tried. And a lot of the time, you want to have mashed potatoes to hide them under. If you have bread with dinner...
We grow together. And with your support, we'll continue to grow.
One of my favorite vegetables, Brussels sprouts.
And this is a recipe that's sophisticated enough for grown-ups, but will still please your children. It still has some sweetness to it. It's really, really good.
Together, we are Wisconsin Public Radio.
Brussels sprouts are roasting. You're going to stir apple juice and maple syrup together and then cook it down until it becomes a glaze.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn, KP Whaley in our Milwaukee studios, and your gift, we can suggest $10 or $15 a month. We thank you for it.
Yeah. And and we did have a listener that wrote in, I think it is Joanna from Stevens Point, who says, one of my first memories is hearing WPR on my parents' radio, and now that I'm all grown up, it's my responsibility and privilege to be able to give back to an organization that's given so much to me. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what we're talking about with the future of WPR.
Yeah, you know, and it's what you do when you're all grown up, isn't it? Yeah, membership drives are a great time for you and for all of us to share our enthusiasm for the programs and the service that we all love. Join this community in celebrating WPR. Pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, join the community. Join the family, really. If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to the show every day, that's a sign that it's time to donate,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
So
yeah.
It means that WPR is important to you. So you donate now.
And you, I hope, know that you are important to us. Because of your contribution, what you have to say about issues, and because we are listener-supported radio. So we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something very special every day. Your gift, it might be $5 a month. Whatever it is, it makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the staggering 50,000 members who support WPR. So your contribution of any amount is pooled with all those other member contributions to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
We use that money to bring you great programs every single day. Make your pledge right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And don't forget...
What?
We have
What, KP? What did I forget?
We still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. Before you go back and talk to Jack, I want to let people know, give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
And also, how can you not support all that's going on? this holiday season, you can also give something extra and ask for the food for 20 when you give, I do too, $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I think Molly from San Diego, who listens.
San Diego.
Yeah,
thanks, Molly.
She also gave a pledge, and she said, I really like the idea of having my thank you gift go to people who need help getting enough
Absolutely.
To eat.
Absolutely.
So if you're like her, like Molly, thank you. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're giving to us so we can talk about all these issues. You're giving so that people can eat.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And Molly is a really nice name also. Jack Mitchell is our guest. Thank you, KP. And we're talking about public radio graying, the audience graying. Is there cause for concern? And how do we attract, which you want more people to listen anyhow. I mean, let's face it, you want your 25-year-old to listen to public radio, or 30-year-old, or 35, or 40, or whatever. So Jack Mitchell is joining us to talk about this, whether or not we need to be concerned, and how we grow a young audience. Jack was director of Wisconsin Public Radio for 21 years. He has a long history with National Public Radio, first employee of National Public Radio, and helped develop All Things Considered. He has won all the top honors in public radio, and we're welcoming phone calls for him. And we go next to John in Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Well, you've had two callers, both disgruntled state employees, and they're disgruntled because of the union busting that they've had to face through the Walker administration in the years that he's had this draconian.
All right, John, let's get to the how do we build a younger audience, please?
Well, the younger audience is not listening to NPR because there isn't any coverage of their workplace experience. This is the first generation that really has no unions available to them, and you don't cover it.
Jack.
That's actually, I think, a good point, because it's my experience as thought as well, is that we do not, like most journalistic organizations, we follow the news. And the news is defined by what the governor is doing or what the legislature is doing, or et cetera. And so we tend not to do as much as I think we should with the real lives of real people. That said, we probably do more than anybody else. There's more of this kind of discussion of these kinds of issues on public radio than there you'll find in commercial radio or in on television, for that matter. I think we should be doing more, but it's not my issue anymore. But I think we have to recognize that nobody does more, and very few do as much with the real lives of real people. And one of the nice things about this call-in format is that people like John can call in and get that voice in there if we are not doing it enough. And that's, say, one of the beauties of this particular format.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, John, very much for your call. What about the whole way we listen to radio, Jack? You, I'm sure, know a lot about this, and I don't know much about it at all. The fact that you and I have grown up, and our parents did, and even our grandparents did, turning the radio on and listening to a ball game or listening to music or listening to public radio. Will we still have radios, or are we going to have these devices and tune into things when we want them, and they'll all be kind of pre-recorded? What about just having a radio?
The liveness, yes.
Right.
That is important to me, the serendipity of just turning on the radio and being confident that there'll be something there that you're going to want, but not for sure, and you're not sure quite what it's going to be. I think that's one of the great educational aspects of live radio. Now, it might be that it'll be on the Internet, but I think the notion of a stream that you dip into not quite knowing what you're going to get is very important. And I say maybe it won't come on a radio transmitter, maybe it'll come on over the Internet or whatever devices they develop. But I think that's really important. But where we're going, it seems, is that the on-demand notion, that I want something, therefore I go and get it. And you'll probably get something pretty neat that you wanted. And there's something to be said for that. But if you didn't know you wanted it, and you just then there's no broadening of your experiences. So I can't say for sure, but I think there'll always be a desire for that stream that I can just turn on when I'm not quite sure what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. I think that's a human desire. I think it requires human beings on the other end rather than just mechanical recordings, no matter how well produced. But I think having a live, decent person that you can relate to and know that they're going to be there and have something of interest for you is really important. And I would be very sad if that were to go away.
I would too.
And because I think that it is so valuable, I have faith that it won't go away, because I think other people will see the and understand the need for that.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Lorraine in Houston, Minnesota. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. I wanted to respond as an older person. I think that you guys are doing quite a bit already. I listen to music that I do not like to listen to on NPR because you're appealing to a younger audience. I know you go on to the social media, you're on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And I think it might be time for you to face the reality that that demographic is not listening to radio. And please don't desert us.
Oh, we're not going to desert you. Don't worry about that, Lorraine, Jack. We're not, are we?
No, not at all.
No.
I hope not. I don't call the shots, but I don't think so. One of the key factors in determining the sort of the appeal is the music. And I've always felt that music divides people according to various demographics, and no matter what you choose to play, you're telling somebody that they're not welcome, or this isn't for them, I guess would be the better way to put it. And so, yes, NPR is does features on music that, frankly, I don't understand, but I'm old. This is an attempt to reach the somewhat younger audiences. I think that it's not so much that it should that older people like ourselves can't learn from it. What is it that's that's the appeal? It doesn't appeal to me right now, but okay, what is it about? And NPR is good at trying to explain that. So I think that there's, in terms of broadening your perspectives, some of us ought to be broadened as well, and NPR does a decent job with that. But it is the most polarizing thing you can do in a public radio station is to play music. And partly that's what defined this audience for public radio, is that back in the 60s and, well, more than the 70s, actually, when we began, we were playing music that was not typically heard on educational radio, which had preceded us, and it did define us as a younger audience. Now, all of us who were doing that back when we were in our 30s or early younger are, into that older audience, and the folks that are doing All Things Considered in Morning Edition now are probably in their 30s and 40s, and they're playing what they think is interesting, which kind of, but it's a broadening. Public radio should be broadening our tastes and expanding our horizons, even though we don't necessarily like it.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit. It seems to me as though the public radio is facing some of the same dilemmas the Republican Party is facing, and that is how to attract minorities. How to attract, people who, Hispanic audiences, African-American audiences. The statistics show that they simply are not listening to public radio. Why is that? Is it important for public radio to grow that audience? And if so, how, Jack?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. The main predictor of listening to public radio is education. And those who have had the most education and enjoyed the educational experience the most are those who tend to be attracted to public radio. Who are the people that graduated from universities 20, 30 years ago? Well, mostly white.
Right.
Almost totally.
Mm-hmm.
That's changing. And what we are, the encouraging thing is that people who have an experience with education, more advanced education, no matter what their race or background, do tend to come to public radio. That still leaves an awful lot of people out, but no radio service serves everybody, no matter who you are, no matter how hard you try. And when we started NPR, our goal was that we were going to be serving everybody. And we found, and we tried, and we really worked hard at it. But when you look at who was actually listening, it was people just like us,
mm-hmm.
white, university educated, and in that case, relatively young. And so we tend to attract people who think that we ought to be serving everybody, but we don't necessarily attract everybody.
Interesting.
This is a big concern to the current public radio management.
I know it
is,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing their best, but it is an impossible task to please everybody with a single radio.
Mm-hmm. I just want to take one more quick call, and then we are into our membership drive again. Carl from Madison, you get the final word here, Carl.
Well, I don't want this to go to your heads, but if Shakespeare had been able to change up his writing to try and chase after some demographic, we wouldn't have those classics. I think that there is definitely a need to reach out. There are wonderful programs that reach across cultural and age divides in really powerful ways, and I think as long as you are always growing and working toward something beautiful and rich and where you, the commentator or reporter, are growing along with your audience, you're in good shape. But don't chase after a crowd that is in any way going to dumb down this beautiful product that you bring to the airwaves every day.
Mm, it's a deal. Thanks, Carl. Jack, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it has been. Jack Mitchell, our thanks to him for all that he's done to create this whole network that you listen to. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and we have important words to say to you, so stay with us. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. We are in our year-end membership drive on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's right. You should tune in every day to listen to great programming like the ones we just gave you, talking about the NPR's audience and how to make NPR continue to be there and continue to be relevant. And now's your time to take a few minutes this hour and make that possible. You can do that by choosing a gift amount that works for you and then making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And KP and I are really excited about this, too. We have a special thank you gift. Ask for food for $20 when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120. Let me say that again. $60, food for $20, food for $40 when you give $120.
Yeah, better yet, break those amounts up into monthly sustaining gifts of just $5 or $10 a month, and your thank you gift will still provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We'd like to give you suggested amounts, $5 a month, $100 a month. We appreciate, and we not only appreciate, I got to tell you the truth, we count on your gift.
Yeah, when you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we always have your interest at heart. We can continue to serve you and the community because of the support that we receive from members. So, and that also includes members of about 600 members of WPR's 9XM Leadership Circle.
And those are people who can give us gifts of $1,200 or more every year, $100 a month. To make that kind of leadership gift, same place, WPR.org, 888-202
2552.
You know, Heather in Green Bay says the WPR app keeps me connected wherever I go. And I love that I can listen anytime and anywhere. And if you like to listen anytime and anywhere as well, now is your time to continue to make that happen. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether it's keeping up with the news, Jack and I were both saying top of the hour. We do this here, too. We turn the news on before the next guest is on, enjoying the laughs that you get, fascinating discussions on the Ideas Network. There's always something that is good and important, I might add,
to listen to. It kind of makes your life feel better. It makes your life better, right?
I know. How true.
Why not help fund that and help keep it going? Your pledge of support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important to continue it.
Elizabeth from Madison says, we're with you, Madison. WPR is my constant companion as I drive around the state of Wisconsin. I am happy to support your quality programming. Well, that says it.
It really does.
Yeah, it does. So please join Elizabeth and so many others. Again, how do you do that, KP Whaley?
You can go to the phone and dial 888-202-2552, or if you're online, just log into WPR.org.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all of your support. Thanks to KP Whaley for all that he does. Scotty Myers produced this interesting hour. Thanks, Scotty. Katie Madsen handled phones for us. Thank you, Katie. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Mm-hmm.